Hey everybody, it's good to see you all again. This segment is just to kind of let you guys know what is going on in this episode. So in this episode, there is a situation towards the end or anywhere in this episode, there is a blank. That means there's no sound coming in the episode, and you might think that is your fault. That is my fault. You can blame me, say it was my fault because that is editing problem, and that's because of recording and the recording platform that I use. If that happens to be in the episode, if that's in it, what you need to do is to just disregard it. Don't worry about it. Consider it like an ad break. Consider it like a break. Consider it like we're taking a 5 minute break. Consider it like that. So no freaking out. No need to worry. Make sure you guys enjoy the episode. Enjoy what's in it. And y'all have a good one and enjoy this one. Really enjoy it and have fun. And please disregard the blanks in there, consider them breaks. Hope you guys enjoy this episode and thank you guys for understanding and for your cooperation. Yes, perfect. Thanks, Greg. Hey, everybody! Right now it is Sunday, so if you're in Texas, it's very sunny out. And I'm adding this extra weather thing because I ran out of things to say. Anyway, I'm here with Mad Hat, and we got so much to talk about. And by lots, I mean lots. Like, this interview will change y'all. Listening to his music really has changed me. So I'm very interested in how we're gonna roll with this. So, Matt, thank you so much for taking the time out to talk to me. I am very excited.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I'm super excited too to be on here, have this platform. It's cool.
For sure, yeah, thank you. Now, obviously, number one, which I want to highlight is on March 10th, you released your this huge album, which I do want to dive into, because firstly, y'all, when I tell you that this album's really different, it is. Because firstly, the cover of it, it's literally it's a brain. It's a illustration of a human brain. And the album name is Corpus Callosum, which I've never heard an album title like that. I've listened to like over hundreds of albums. I've never heard one like that. So huge congrats on this. This was released on the 10th, so it's released very recently. So I want to kind of ask about this whole album. Like, how did it come to be? What was the process of making it? And what the hell did you get that artwork done?
Yeah, for sure. So the album kind of came to be. I started working with this dude. His name's like spelled GA, I think it's pronounced Ga. But like I haven't like met him like just online, you know. We sort of met and like I heard some like beats that he had like made, and I was like, yeah, this stuff's really good. And I sent him a couple like just miscellaneous, just throwaway verses over a couple of them. And he was like, yeah, no, you're good. Let's work. And so we kind of just it started as just like kind of making songs without having sort of an overall like idea or concept to it. And then at a certain point, I started to think like, how can we sort of tie these together? And it sort of ended up becoming this like quote unquote like concept album in a way, because I was looking into there's different ways. So it started as like I was like, okay, what if we had like two sides to the record, like side A and side B, and each side was sort of like represented like one half of the brain, because they say left brain, I think it is like really like the creative one, and the right brain is really analytical. And so sort of using that concept to be like, okay, these songs are representing like so if it's like left brain, it's like, okay, these songs are just sort of like more artistic, sort of more like storytelling songs, like not really, serious. And then like the second side, like the quote unquote right half, would be like, okay, these are like, gritty, sort of like serious, like songs that are sort of like lyrically very heavy and very like hard hitting, because that's sort of the two camps that what I had the stuff I had written just aimlessly, it generally fell into either one of those two camps, either more serious or more like, you know, just having fun, character driven. And then, so I was thinking about this idea of like having the left and right half of the brain, and then maybe, like I said, maybe splitting it up into like side A, side B. And I was just doing some Googling and looking into, you know, just brain anatomy, just trying to get ideas. And like, so the corpus callosum, which is obviously the title of the album, it's sort of, it facilitates communication between the left half of the brain and the right half of the brain. And then I was looking at the tracks I had, and I was like, okay, well, what if it's sort of, I sort of laid it out like, you know, so like it's alternating back and forth between like the left brain songs and the right brain songs. And in that way, like the corpus callosum is like facilitating communication between them, you know? So it's like a back and forth conversation as opposed to just two, you know, stratified, like, okay, this is this part of the album and this is the other part of the album, you know, to sort of give it an overall, like to tie it together, you know, and have it sort of go back and forth between those two sounds. And that's sort of how the idea of the title and the concept thing happened. And then I say, well, how can I distinguish, you know, like one side from the other? And I decided to do, I think I saw like a Slow Tie album recently, like it did, where like the first half was all the tracks were in all capitalized letters and the second half were all lowercase letters. So I was just like, okay, well, why don't I use that? So like, you know, the more creative character based, songs are written, like the titles are in all capitalized, and the more right brain tracks are all lowercase. And that way you can sort of tell looking at it, like, you know, like as a listener, if I wasn't there telling you all this stuff, you can still look at it and be like, oh, okay, so it's kind of grouped into these two kind of groups of songs. And then, you know, like you're sort of able to piece it together. And then you're like, okay, corpus callosum, what does that mean? And then you look it up, you're like, oh, left brain, right brain. You know, like I'm trying to leave some of this stuff there for the listener to be able to, you know, like work it out, so that I don't have to be there like, oh, hey, did you know this is what I was thinking, you know, like it's meaningless if it's not, if the information isn't there in some way, you know. As far as the art goes, I literally just went on Instagram, I typed in like hashtag brain art, and then I found this like I just came across some like illustration of a brain by somebody. So I checked out their profile. Her name's JL Stewart. And like she did a thing where she was like doing a bunch of different illustrations and interpretations of brains. And then I contacted her. The original one I wanted to use, she was actually like, hey, normally that'd be cool, but this one I actually really like. And so I'm going to like you, like, so she, like she's using that as like her profile picture, and like, you know. And so I was like, okay, what about this other one? And it doesn't look like the album art that's there, but I was like, okay, what about this one? Is it cool if I like use this and sort of alter it? And I sent her what I ended up doing it with it. She was like, yeah, that's cool. But originally it was just like, it was just black background and like just the silhouette of a brain with sort of like paint splatters in it, you know, and like all different sort of colors of paint splatters. So What I did, I just I took it into GIMP because I can't afford Photoshop. But I just took it into, you know, photo editing software, and I applied some sort of like edge detect filter on it, so like it did all the outline of it, you know, like a white outlines against black. And then I just messed around with it a bit. I typed the title, put it in the corner. I was like, this looks pretty cool. And I was like, what if I like split it halfway down to reinforce the idea of this two different halves of the brain and inverted the other side. And, you know, so I mean, but like I tend to do that, like with a lot of my album art, like I'll commission somebody. Well, this wasn't a commission. She had already made it. She graciously allowed me to alter it and use it, the art free of charge. But like what I've done in the past, I'll commission somebody for like art, and then I'll go in myself and I'll sort of like make small tweaks to it. Just because it's so much easier than like, you know, trying to like back and forth, like, hey, this is perfect, but can you do this very slightly different? If it's just like a color thing, it's like, okay, I can just do that myself, you know? Or like, if I want to edit it slightly, it's like, all right, no, that's good. I've got the commission now, and now I can sort of, you know, like make small tweaks to it. So that's sort of how the art came about. It was just something that I found on Instagram, and I was like, this is cool. And then I was like, okay, I'm going to do my thing to it now. And then he does that.
Crazy. Wow. It's a very good, intricate, a concept album I see. I definitely was listening to a couple of the tracks and I was like, whoa, like it's a really truly concept album, because every time I was listening to the tracks, it just hit different. Every single track, it felt different, but at the same time, it felt pretty good to listen to those, so that I have that conflicted feeling about it.
Yeah, I was gonna say, like I feel like doing it that way sort of allowed me to explore a lot of different a lot of different areas. Like it, I've never been somebody who can like release an album where like every track has the same feel. You know, it's like an album of like 10 tracks that are all like 90s boom bap and very little different. You know, like I'm always trying to experiment with what different sounds I can get and like to sort of push the media, the medium, you know, and Ga, the producer, is also of that same mindset, you know, very, but very interested in sort of pushing boundaries and seeing what can be done, and you know, like I mean, and like he handled like all of the music, you know, and like I've done projects before where it's like I get beats from somebody that are already made, and then I just sort of add my rapping and like, you know, I'll like mix and master like the final thing. But for this, like he did it all, and it's like, yeah, it sounds really cool, and it's a sound that I couldn't accomplish on my own. So I'm like, yeah, you do that, because it sounds very like vinyl-y to me at points, or like just like the way he did my vocals. Like it's just a really neat sound, and I really like all the different like sort of instrumental interludes that he pulls in from different places. Like he'll start a track and it'll start with like 40 seconds of like this just random like obscure Japanese like, you know, jazz fusion track that then goes into like the next section, you know, and a lot of it is very sort of sectioned off as like different sounds coming from different places and like samples cutting in right where you don't expect them. But I think that also even adds to the sort of idea of the album in the first place, because it's sort of like you're having all these different thoughts happening around you, you know. It's sort of like it's like how like you're inside a brain, you know. And like, yeah, but just the way he gets all these different samples and just puts it all together, it's like nothing I've ever heard. This dude's crazy.
I feel that, and I felt that too. Like I felt like I was inside my own brain. It's like you pulled out exactly the like foundation of like the brain, and especially like Fallen Angels and Movement 5. I felt like whoa, like as I was listening to it, like I almost, to be honest, I almost fell out of my chair whenever I listened to those. Like that's how crazy the song was and the production was.
Yeah, for sure.
And speaking about the production sound though, wanna definitely get into your music process, like generally. I wanna know your techniques when it comes to, you know, production and, you know, songwriting. You know, what's that whole process about? 'Cause I know that you put out different sounds, from jazz fusion to glitch rap. So I want to know I'm curious to know your entire, you know, music process.
Yeah. Okay. So, like, I mean, sort of when I first started like doing anything related to music, like I joined band in like fourth grade, and I just played saxophone, and then like so that's sort of where a lot of my music background comes from, is like as like a classical, well, a classically trained musician. But like I've always listened to a lot of hip hop. I love hip hop, you know. So like that's sort of what sort of got me into it. So like it's kind of weird. I don't like when I started like releasing music, I didn't even really think of myself like I wasn't doing it as a rapper. I was sort of doing it as a producer slash saxophone player that then sort of like started doing like more rap. I mean, it's been sort of a weird journey, and every project I release is sort of coming from a different place, you know. Like I have released like instrumental, fully instrumental projects, where it's just me playing saxophone, you know, with either like, you know, sort of like neo digital funk type background stuff, or with like actual like band group of people, you know, with like other horn players and drummer and other stuff. So it really, my process sort of varies between project to project, because I still do, like, even though this last album I just released, I was just rapping, like I didn't really touch any of the production. I still do production, I still make beats, and I'm still getting better at that. And like a lot of my I say most of my albums or even projects in general are like mixed and mastered like by me, like at the end of it, you know, like even if it's like I hand off to somebody else for some stuff, like I always have the final, like, you know, I always have the final hand on. So, this sort of the same way with the artwork, you know, like I always, like, I guess I'm like, okay, this is pretty good, but I think actually, you know, it's kind of a bit too heavy in the low mids, and I'll just, you know, take that and sort of work with that. But most of my stuff is like self-produced, like from scratch, you know, like I make the beat, I rap on the beat, I do all the chops and flips and whatever else, and then I, you know, mix it, and then it's, you know, it's on the album, and I'm like, okay, that's good, and I do that for however many songs, and then I release it. A lot of the time when I'm starting like on a project or an album or whatever, like it starts with an idea, and sometimes like I'll just have like an idea like written on like a notes app, and it'll be like maybe like a year, you know, where it's just that idea is just there. And then I'm like, okay, what should I do next musically? And then I'm like, oh, you know what? This idea sounds pretty cool. And like, I've done it before where I like, I'll work out a track list before I have half of the songs recorded. But I'm like, okay, I want this track to be sort of this vibe, these sorts of lyrics, doing this in the context of the album. Like, I'm very much album oriented. I think it's just because I've always listened to albums, you know, like as a unit. Like I've never been somebody who can like just, who's happy like bouncing from single to single, you know, and just like, okay, this is cool for 2 minutes. Okay, cool. This other person is doing something for 2 minutes. It's like, I don't know. I always prefer, I just feel like you can do a lot more artistically in a wider framework that sort of albums provide, you know? So that's sort of what I gravitate to musically. Yeah, but I mean, my process is different for every project that ends up being released. I mean, this last album was completely different than that, 'cause like I said, it started with a few songs, and then I was like, okay, now let's figure out the concept to put behind it, you know, and it sort of went that way. So it really just depends. I don't call myself like, oh, I'm a producer, or oh, I'm a rapper. I just think like I'm a musician, you know, and I tend to do whatever is needed in any given creative context, you know. Like I don't like limiting myself to, oh, well, I make beats, but I make them really good, you know, or like, oh, I just rap, but I'm really good at rapping. I just like whatever needs to be done, I'll try to do it. And a lot of what helps that is the fact that I have like a classical music sort of background, and I, you know, I play like jazz, and I'm sort of familiar with all these different mediums, and the fact that I grew up listening to hip hop, so I'm familiar with a lot of, you know, like how that works, and just like it's, I think my strongest, like what I'm strongest at with my music is just my versatility and my ability to adapt to whatever like a project calls for, you know, because not every project calls for the same things. You get people who like, when they release an album, it sounds the same as every other album they release. Like they have one sound, and they do it really well, but every single song they release, every single verse they rap is just the same sound. And it's just like, it for some people they like that, but that's not for me. You know, I always like experimenting with what I can do and trying to push myself to do different, weirder stuff because I like weird music.
Feel that. It's really nice that you don't stick to one specific, you know, category. Like, you really are exploring these different genres, which I totally love artists that step out of, you know, the comfort zones and really go into, you know, different kind of sounds. And I also love your point of view of production and your perspective on music. That's really aligning to me. especially hearing it from a fellow artist, it's very enlightening to me. But yeah, speaking to about production, I had a feeling that one of your weak spots is mixing and mastering, so I want to kind of talk about that. Not to pin you out or anything, I'm more curious about like your point of view when it comes to mixing and mastering. So I want to know your take about it.
Yeah, no, for sure, and that's a good point. I failed to mention. So like the first thing I ever released was mixed absolutely atrociously, but that's because like, I mean, it was the first thing I mixed, you know, I've always sort of been somebody who like I want to release as much of my music as I make as possible. Like I don't want to pull down old stuff that sounds bad, because I think it's worth having it up, partially for the sake of, you know, somebody listening and be like, oh wow, that he was bad when he started and now listen to him. And part of it is just that, you know, like, I mean, so, like, partially for documenting growth, and also partially just because if one person likes it, even though I don't like it, that doesn't mean that's not necessarily good, you know? Like, because I have my own tastes, but that doesn't mean that if I make something I don't think is good, that somebody else won't like it, and then they'll be like, hey, let me do this. But yeah, no, mixing and mastering, every project I do, like, I get a little bit better at it. So, like, my first couple projects, it was like, yeah. And by projects, I mean things that I, like, collab. Like, I mean, I released a project with a rapper, Salad Head, where it's like, I did the production on that, you know, so I'm counting that as, like, one of my projects, you know what I mean? But, like, yeah, like, I don't know. As time goes on, you learn how to do stuff, and you get better at it. And that applies to mixing and mastering. That applies to everything in life, and it applies to everything in music, especially. You know, I mean, as I do more music, I get better at rapping, I get better at producing, I get better at beat making, I get better at mixing and mastering, I get better at working with other people. You know, I mean, that's sort of the whole point. I like, you see people and it's like they release like one single, and that's all they have out for like 2 months, and then they drop another song and they like promote it and they try to get so much money into it. It's like, if that's all the music you're making, like I get that some people like make a ton of music and they vault it, but I know people personally who like who only make like one song every month or two, and it's like it's not physically possible to progress as an artist in if you're not constantly, you know, like doing what you do and working on it and getting better. Cause like every single project that you work on, every single track that you make, you get a little bit better, you know? And I mean, it's sort of the same thing with practicing an instrument. It's like, if you're trying to learn the violin and you pick it up once every like 3 weeks, you know, like you're just not going to become like super good at it because you're not familiar with it and you're not getting the time like doing it and working it out and figuring out like how it works, you know?
Yeah.
Like, and I think nowadays there's a lot of people who are so focused on the promotion of music and like all the stuff that isn't actually making the music. They're worried on getting it produced super well and making sure it sounds super good. But if something sounds super good, like it should at least be worth listening to, you know? Like, there's no point in paying like a few hundred dollars for somebody to mix and master a song if the song itself at its core essence and its actual like composition and the writing of it is boring, you know? And it's just like, okay, this isn't anything. Like, I could listen to several other artists who do exactly what you did better, you know? Like, I think there's a lot of value in releasing things that aren't perfect, that sound sloppy, but you can see the sort of concept beneath them, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And wow, I admire your intake about that. And again, I was asking, because it is your weak spot, so I figured you have more to say about it. But I definitely agree about how artists take about, you know, singles and releasing that. You know, you're right, you know, even though you're putting out singles, and that doesn't mean you're progressing. So definitely very valid points that you're making, for sure. Yeah. And And congrats, actually, this past December, you actually got a bachelor's in music composition from Rowan. So I definitely want to highlight that. That's a huge accomplishment, getting a bachelor's. It's not easy feat. So I want to talk about that. Like, how do you feel, you know, now that you have a bachelor's, and, you know, how do you plan to use that, you know, in the future?
Yeah, so it's kind of funny, my attitude towards that, because it's like when I first started going to college, I, like, my first semester going to Rowan, which was right out of high school, I was going for mechanical engineering, and then I did it for a few weeks. I was like this sucks. I hate this. Like, I was just thinking about music stuff and doing music stuff anyway. I was like, well, I might as well, like, get a degree for music stuff. So I looked at switched over, and like, I wasn't paying as much money because I got in on, like, really good, a really high SAT score, and for a few other things, and the fact that I was keeping all A's in all my classes, like, I was getting sort of reduced tuition based on that front. And for that reason, like if I had to pay, like, the full price of tuition, like what it says on the label, you know, like, this is how much this education should cost, I probably would have just dropped out. But I was like, well, if I'm getting this much money off it, I might as well, you know, continue with it and, like, graduate. And I do think that I got a lot out of the music composition program. I mean, it was all, like, when I say music composition, a lot of people aren't really sure what that means. Like, it was mainly just, like, working with, like, sheet music, like, writing, like contemporary classical music, you know, and, like, interfacing with, like, violinists and, like, you know, trumpet players and all this other stuff, and sort of, you know, like, getting music played like that. It was a lot of, like, chamber music, which means, like, you know, you'll have, like, three or four instrumentalists, you know, just playing a piece. But I mean, it's, in some ways, it's very different to what I'm doing now with my own music. You know, there was no production involved. It's just like, okay, I write it out on sheet music. Obviously, I don't even use sheet music for what I make now. But, you know, and giving it to other people and they play it, and then you're learning how to write it better. So in some ways, it really is not at all like what I do now. But in other ways, it very much is, because it sort of opened up my mind to, like, how to think about music generally. Not only did it give me, like, a lot of theory background that I really appreciate, you know, like, just understanding, you know, how different things work in music, like, you know, how to modulate time signatures and between keys, and with the effects of slowing down and speeding up music and other things like that. But it just, it just kind of changes the way that you think about music, because you're constantly thinking for 4 years, you know, cause I mean, I did for 4 years, you know? So it's like, for 4 years, I'm always thinking about how I can use music to convey certain ideas, like, without words, just using, you know, like, I'm like, how can I express the idea of jealousy with a single violin, you know what I mean, like, stuff like that. It's like these sort of thinking exercises where it's like your brain normally wouldn't try to do that, but when you have to, you sort of, you know, you work out a way, you work it out, and then you sort of, it reframes how you think about music and how you think about what you do. So, I mean, I'm not planning on going into music education anytime soon or anything like that. So, like, I mean, in terms of, like, what I'm going to do with my degree, probably not much. I mean, it is good to have a degree, you know, because there are some jobs that just, like, as long as you have a degree, like, that automatically puts you above the tier of people who, you know, don't have a degree. But there's not very much that you can do with a music composition degree. That being said, I'm very glad that I did go that direction, and not even, like, a related one, like a music performance or music education, because, like, I'm not interested in music education, you know? Like, I just want to think about and learn about creating music, and college really let me do that. And also, I made some connections with people, and, you know, and now I have, like, I'm like, oh, if I need a guitar player, I know a couple people I can contact who can maybe do that. Or, you know, oh, if I need a violinist or a cellist, I'm like, okay, I know this person, I could at least ask them, and they probably know other people, you know? So if I had just, like, after high school, just not gone to like further like schooling. Like I wouldn't have known these people, and I probably wouldn't have even felt sort of the propulsion by the community I was around to even continue going further with music, you know. So I'm really glad I did it, but at the same time, it's not on paper the most useful thing, you know, for me. And I definitely think it's not for everybody. I definitely think there are some people who like that if they're thinking about going to college for music, and they're like, maybe they want to start like doing film scoring, or something along those lines. Like, I think in a lot of cases, it's better to just hop in the field directly and start and sort of, you know, like figure out how to do it yourself, as opposed to spending 4 years, like taking classes, you know, especially with like playing like an instrument. Like, you know, if you're a really good trumpet player, like you shouldn't go to, I mean, maybe like to a music conservatory if you want connections, but like, really, even then, it's like, you know, it's, I think for a lot of people, it's not worth going to college for music, but for a lot of people it is. So,
and that makes a lot of sense. So this is a plus for you. Like it's a nice plus to have, which I think is very fair to have. I really try to push degrees, actually, you know, because it's a nice plus to have. It's a nice thing to have alongside you, and you never know what could happen. So, you know, I do see your point about that. Well, congrats again, though, on getting the degree. At least you have one, so you can do so much, you know.
Thank you.
It's a nice plus to have, but I do see your point about it. And it makes sense why you can't use it much, because you're already making music, so, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, a lot of like actual opportunities, like, you know, I mean, if you want to play in a jazz club, they're not going to ask like, oh, well, did you go to college? Like, they're going to ask like, okay, do you have like footage of you performing, or do you have like names of people like who can recommend you? You know, like it's at the end of the day, like music making as a whole is about the quality of the product that you make, you know, whether it's playing an instrument live, or whether it's like really good mixes and masters, or whether it's anything really, really interesting beats. Like, the main thing that needs to be there is quality. Like college just doesn't sort of carry like it doesn't mean the same thing for a musician as it does for somebody like an engineer, or like, you know, a doctor or anything like that, where it's like, yeah, you need this specific education so that you can get certified to do this, because there's one way to do it. With music, like, anybody can make music, and the musicians that people really like, you know, they don't like them because they're super educated. They like them because they make good music. So the more time that you can spend making music and getting better at making music, the better, you know. And like, going to classes that aren't directly related to what you're doing and spending a lot of money on them, it's like, it doesn't always make sense.
Yeah, definitely, for sure. I feel that. And I'm glad you're taking your own lead when it comes to music and all that sort. So definitely major props to that. And I definitely see where you're at about, you know, degrees and their real use and value. So, definitely feel that. And actually, I was gonna ask in relation to music composition. I want to know your take on, you know, music theory and composing and writing. Like, how versatile are you in that aspect, you know, since it's related to, you know, music composition?
Yeah. So, well, I mean, me personally, I've done arrangements for like jazz band. Like, I do fucking anything. But in terms of like theory and its importance, I think a lot of people either overestimate it or underestimate it. And like, you know, like, music theory is not everything, and I think especially in educational institutions, a lot of emphasis is placed on learning music theory. And you don't need to be a good theorist to make good music. I think that's like an obvious fact. Like, you look at some of the best artists in any genre, and 9 times out of 10, they're not like classically trained. You know, they don't have the most amazing theory, but something about what they do is unique to them and the way they do it, and they do it very well. And you don't, that, like, a lot of the time that doesn't need to be theory. A lot of the times you can do really interesting stuff and not understand what you're doing from a theory point. You know, if you're just like, oh, I like the way that this sounds when I hit these drums in this order, like, you know, you don't need to know, like, oh, that's a 5/4 bar with a sort of triplet polyrhythm like put over it. Like, you don't need to know that. You just need to know that when I do this, it sounds good and I can do it. But at the same time, you see people go too far in that direction where they're like, oh, well, you don't need music theory. You just need to make good music. And then they like refuse to learn about like anything. They're just like so super stubborn in about like not even looking into like any basic music theory, you know, like rhythms and like what's a triplet. Like they're like, oh, I don't need to know that because I can do it. And on the one hand, it's like, okay, like if you don't think you need to know that, that's fine, then just don't know it. But I feel like as an artist, it's sort of your responsibility to constantly be learning new things and trying new things and figuring out how to make art better, or how to make your art better, you know, and how to create in better ways. I mean, I'm always looking at, like, you know, new music theory stuff and learning about different things. I have a book right next to me, 20th Century Harmony by Vincent Persichetti, and it's just full of this like super weird, esoteric, like strange music theory stuff that none of it, like, you would look at, so I'd be at, you listen, like, sorry, I'm tripping over my words. Like, it's just weird and really complicated, and like, you don't need to know it to be a successful musician. Like, you don't need to know it to be Taylor Swift. Like, you think Taylor Swift like knows anything about music theory? She probably just, you know, knows how to sing. I mean, she knows how to sing, but like, she probably couldn't write a single one of her songs out on sheet music. She doesn't need to. But I personally like being able to understand fully everything that I'm doing, and from there, using those different pieces of what I do, you know, like using those different pieces that I understand, I can break it down and sort of change things independently. You know, like, I'm not like like wandering around aimlessly, like, oh, well, when I rapped this before, it sounded good. Why can't I find the beat this time? Like, I'd much rather be like, okay, I know what I'm doing. I come in on the end of two, you know, and the flow goes like this, you know, like I can write out every single one of my flows on sheet music, you know. I mean, it's just a matter of understanding the medium and having a better understanding of what you do. So obviously music theory isn't essential, you know, for creating music or for creating good music, but it's really helpful if you want to do stuff quickly. And it's also really useful if you want to, you know, like, to find out how to push the envelope, right, you know, in one way or another.
Yeah, and I admire your take on music composition, though. I'm definitely getting the feel about it, and like I've seen it, but I've never like heard such an intricate analysis on the concept itself. So it feels crazy that, you know, that you know so much about the composition, and yet these other people, they don't tell it like how it is right now, like how you're telling it. They don't really tell it like that, like how you're telling it to me. It feels like, wow, it feels like a revelation, like, oh wow, now I'm seeing it, and now I'm seeing what's going on.
Yeah, I mean, I think a big part of it also is that a lot of people grow up, or not just grow up, but like their music making only extends to the scene that they're in. Like, if they're like a rock guitarist, they're gonna be around rock musicians and doing a lot of that sort of stuff. That's within that field. Like, But like, because I have the insight of like, you know, I've played in a funk band, you know, I went to school for classical music. I've played jazz music. I listened to rap music. Like there's a lot of overlapping concepts that like, I think the more you listen to and the more sort of ideas that you pick up from different sources, the more you realize, oh, this is all connected. Like it's all the same. Like at the end of the day, music is just sound. And you know, it has these elements like pitch and rhythm and timbre. And like, those are the main ones. And then from there, oh, and you know, harmony, but that's an extension of pitch. But you know, like with these, you can sort of expand and go into depth in each one, and every sort of genre or sound world or culture does it differently. You know, like, there are a lot of cultures that don't use, you know, 12 chromatic pitches for a scale. They'll split it up into maybe like 10, or it'll be like unevenly distributed. But like knowing a little bit about a lot of different genres sort of allows you to have a better overall understanding than if you just, like, if you only know jazz and you've been a jazz trumpeter all your life and you're like, okay, I know how to play trumpet. I know how to play jazz really well on my trumpet, but you know, like you probably wouldn't be at all comfortable playing in anything that isn't 4/4 or 6/8, you know, but there are like time signatures. You can do anything, you know, but if you're a math rock drummer, you have to know like all these, you have to be able to very intricately switch between different time signatures and tempos and rhythms like at the drop of a hat. So it's a different skill set. So I think if you learn a little bit about each sort of thing, you know, and just spend time around these different genres and different ways of thinking about music, you'll sort of get a better understanding about music as a whole, you know? And I mean, there's terminology stuff where different cultures call the same thing by different names. Like even just thinking like, you know, a saxophone, you know, like in a classical sense, you probably call it a saxophone. In funk, you would call it a horn, you know, like, or in jazz arranging, you call it a horn. But in classical music, a horn is something different. That's referring to the French horn, which is a different instrument entirely, you know, and just stuff like that. It's like weird terminology stuff where there are synonyms for other things that are just used differently, like tempo, BPM. Like that, the tempo and BPM are the same thing, but like when you hear somebody say tempo versus when you hear somebody say BPM, they're usually coming from two different places, you know? Like, and it's just interesting to see how different groups, different cultures, different societies, different genres even, think about different aspects of music in different ways, you know? Because at the end of the day, it's all the same. Like, you're not losing anything by hearing how Indian classical music works. Like, you're not losing what you already know about music by learning something else. I think some people are scared to learn because they think that it'll change the way they think about things, and like they'll lose their ability to create freely. But in my experience and what I've always seen in other people's experiences, the more you know, the better grasp of everything you have on everything, and the more you're able to create what you want to create, as opposed to just blindly going at it by chance. And maybe if you keep saying these words over and over, you'll find a cool rhythm. Like, well, no, how about this? Like, you know, like, you know, a triplet flow sounds cool and you want to speed up the energy here, do that, and then go back into a sort of more laid back, sort of hazy, blur the lines duple thing, you know? Like the more ways that you have to understand music, the more music you can create, yeah, and the better you can.
And I definitely see where you stand when it comes to that. I definitely can relate to that. I've heard a lot of points of views of just the industry and just the concept of music itself. So it's good to hear a refreshing view about it, especially coming from somebody who has literally mastered the base, the foundation of music theory. Like, that's why I felt like it was very important to have this conversation, because you come from an area that's not only difficult, like, you know, I'm also a band student, so I like I've had a difficulty with understanding theory. It was important to me to hear from somebody who has graduated with music composition, to see somebody who has been in this industry long enough to see what it's about, and especially somebody who made such an intricate concept album like this, and this built into a brain, and that's why I felt like it was very important. So thank you for all those views. Like, it really has changed my intake when it comes to music, and even to stuff like, you know, music theory and all sorts of things. So thanks for that.
Yeah, man, I'm always thinking about music and how it relates to sound in general and how different things work. And I'm always thinking, like, oh, what if I didn't use this? I've made songs that don't have a time signature because there aren't drums and there's not a pulse. It's just sort of freely over a drone, you know? I think it's just a matter of, thinking creatively and always thinking about it and trying to think, oh, well, what happens if I do this without doing that other thing? You know, what happens if I put jazz horns over drum and bass drums, you know, just having that curiosity and that impulse to try things out, I think is really one of the best ways to
definitely
be creative.
And I feel like that's one of the few ways to really, you know, be creative. And again, thanks for these views. I'm sure there's a lot of fans watching that are going through the same similar things that are either liking college like you were, or who's, you know, growing in this industry and trying to grasp on music. What would you tell them?
I would say that if you're not sure if you want to be a musician, then don't try to be a musician. The only people who I think it's very valid to tell people that being a musician sucks, because a lot of it does. But if you need to be a musician, it's sort of an internal thing, you know, there's a desire to create music regardless of how awful it's going to be and how poor you're going to be and how long it could take. And if you want to be famous as a musician, I think it's not even worth going into music in the first place. I think as a musician, you have to be going into it with the understanding that you may never get more than 100 people listening to your stuff. I mean, you'll probably get more than 100, but you may never have people listening to your music. You'll probably never be famous. You probably won't even be locally famous. And if that's something that you expect from music, then you don't understand what it is to make music or to be a musician. I see a lot of people now, especially in hip hop, that they want to be a rapper, but they don't really care about rapping. They just want the status of being a rapper and I made this track and all my friends like it. You know, they want to make money, and they think for some reason they think that being a rapper is a good way to make money. It's not. It's such a slog. It's really difficult. It's terrible. But if you really love music, then you should do it. You know, I mean, I think that if you have a genuine love for music, and creating music, and you just want to create music, nothing can stop you from doing that. You know. And if you think that there's something that can stop you, if you're well, I do really like engineering, but music is also kind of fun, then be an engineer. Engineers make way more money. If you can enjoy that, do that in a heartbeat. It's way better than being a musician. But for some people, myself included, it's just I need to do music. Music is all I care about. I love music. I breathe music. I can't live without music. Then what are you going to do? You know, I mean, there's plenty of jobs that I should have, there are plenty of careers that are better for me to be on paper than being a musician, but I need to create music. I need to be a musician, yeah. So I am a musician. You know what I mean? So don't think it's great. Don't glorify being a musician. It sucks, but you know, if I think at a certain point people know. Like, I think mm-hmm, people know, yeah, like if they're really into
definitely
music,
and
know?
I feel that, yeah. Very, very valid points, and you are not wrong about all that. You are not wrong at all. And that truth actually hit me when you said that. Like, that truth literally, you know the expression truth hurts? That literally hit me.
I hurt you.
Seriously though, much appreciated for your intake. And speaking about the intake, you still have something you wanted to share with fans, which I'm very excited for because I haven't heard a real performance in a very long time. So if you're still down for that, we'd love to hear, you know, what you got for them.
Yeah, of course, man. I wrote this specifically for this podcast. That, like, last night I got home, I was like, you know, I'm gonna write something specifically.
Awesome.
For this podcast. So I wrote down like a 16 or whatever. Yeah, I gotcha.
Get into
right,
it, yes.
You want me to just get into it to the start? All right, fire. Cool. All right. Rap it out, rap it out. I treat my dream like charades and act it out. I'm killing it, no revenant like DiCaprio. I bear my spirit, just energy, no decaf allowed. And musically, I'm killing it here with musically. The way I carefully craft my phrases will have you losing sleep. I see people sleeping on me, they seem confused to me. I know their fame is waning like the phases of the moon should be. They're scared, but there ain't no shame to lose to me. I'm one of a kind, you're Bruce Forsyth, I'm Bruce Lee. Truthfully, my ego too brutal to be bruised by these fools who jack style and act like they've been spewing heat. I'm too sick, I need a meat thermometer stat, because I got that gobstopper flow, the gift of the gab. I'm breaking jaws, and I hate to break it to y'all, but I'm breaking the law, the way I'm speeding past all the fake limits that y'all been imposing on yourself. I'm too venomous, dog, just like a poisonous pit. Poisonous what I spit, writing every bar from scratch. Play that shit in reverse and reserve your front row tickets for the back of the hearse.
Awesome, that was really good. I feel really special that you wrote that just for me. Wow. Yeah.
Yeah, man. I love writing. You know, I love rapping. I love all this. I'm glad that I can
make music
as I do and continue to make music. You know?
Of course, yeah.
And I'm glad to be on the podcast.
I definitely enjoyed listening to your music. I knew I was like, yep. I'm gonna ask, because as soon as I saw that post with the brain, I was like, hold on, wait a minute. And I saw that you haven't done like this before, so I was like, hold on, wait a minute. I need to reach out, because this guy hasn't done one in a long time. I mean, I was like, okay, I'm gonna give this guy a try. Let's see how it rolls.
Yeah. I'm happy to have been here.
I love talking to you. I love your intakes on all music, and you got so much going on. Now, you did release this project a couple days ago, but do you have anything that's coming that we should know about, what to look forward to?
I have so much shit, man. No, like so I always have stuff that I'm working on, and like lately I've been falling into the trap of like releasing too much stuff too close together. Like I dropped an album on January 1st of this year, and then I dropped like a short mixtape like a month later, and then I just dropped another like decent sized album, you know. I have a couple things I'm working on. I'm hoping to do a few remixes from a previous album, put that out as a unit. I'm also looking into getting back into the saxophone stuff, because the last few things I've done have all been like rap. So I have some ideas for, you know, going back to a saxophone based project. And then, but those are both going to be pretty small in size. Like I have one main, like, large, like, you know, like decent sized album that I have ideas for. I've started talking to people about it. I'm probably going to be working on it for like several months. It might not even release by the end of this year, but I have those smaller projects to put out in the meantime so that I'm still releasing stuff. But yeah, there's definitely big stuff coming in the future, sooner rather than later. And yeah, we'll see more about it when
I'm super excited. That's so exciting. I'll probably be stalking Instagram. I'm just kidding. I'm not doing that.
Yeah,
I already have it, though, but y'all should. Y'all definitely should. But anyway, regardless though, I do truly thank you for taking your time out to actually come here and to do this. Even writing that verse for me, that was very sweet. And I'd love to do this again later on when you have more stuff out. I definitely am looking forward to more and more from you, and I cannot wait.
Yeah, for sure. Right. I look forward to making more stuff.
For
know?
Sure, yeah.
You know how it is.
Did you have anything lastly that you wanted to, you know, tell your fans, tell the listeners, anything lastly you wanted to say to them?
I mean, not really. Like I said, follow me on Instagram at the real Matt Hat. Go stream the album Corpus Callosum out now with producer Ga. Follow him on Instagram too. Is GA_Corpus.
Nice.
And yeah.
So thanks.
sub to me on YouTube. Look up Matt Hat. Just sub. Anything I'm on. Just follow me everywhere.
But seriously, though, y'all, make sure you check him out. Matt Hat everywhere you can see him. Literally, I googled him up. He's Googleable. So actually, else he's official. He's Googleable. I'm not sure if that's a word or not.
Yeah, I made sure when I was like thinking about my name, because the name Matt Hat, somebody like a drummer in a funk band I played in, like sort of like ended up giving me that name just because I like was wearing a hat, you know, more often than not. And he was, hey, Matt in the Hat, and that became Matt Hat. And so I was thinking of like names that I could like release music out as, and I like when I specifically looked up, like I was like, okay, is there anybody else like big that uses the name like Matt Hat or Matt in the Hat? And like Matt Hat, I was like, okay, cool. There's like nobody, so I'm good to use this. So I made sure when I was picking my name, I did think about it. I was like, is it
perfect,
easily Googleable?
Yeah. That's the main thing you gotta do as a musician, to make sure that your name is like concrete, because you don't want to be like a wannabe, you know, person, because then that just makes you sad and pathetic if you're just a wannabe.
Yeah, like future. Can't Google that. It's already a word.
I did not think of that. Are. That's funny. Yeah, I'm sorry, but that was funny. Like, my bad. But seriously, though, y'all need to check him out. He is fun. Y'all should check out his latest album. It's really good, and y'all real musicians, y'all should check them out for sure. And yeah, thank you guys so much for watching, and I hope you guys enjoyed as much as I did. It definitely made Sunday worthwhile. Usually today is like my lazy day, so I was really unsure if I was going to be able to do this, but he has saved me from my slumber, so thanks for that. Right. I feel like that's everybody's Sunday. It's just sitting and just, you know, lazy life. But I knew, I was like, I got to set up as soon as possible. This guy's going to be really something. I knew I had to. Of course, yeah, for sure. And nice, I always got your back. You got a new supporter, me. You know, if you need anything, I totally got you. You are a serious musician, so I'm definitely behind you 101%. Get it? 1%. I love puns.
Same here, man. I like when you reached out to me, I started looking into the podcast. I was like, oh,
thank you.
Like, I really like what you're doing.
Much appreciated. Although there has been two weird things that people have been so weird about. One, they think the podcast is hip hop. I forgive me off for the name that gives it off, but I do everybody. People kept asking, they kept saying no because they thought their music wouldn't fit with hip hop, and I keep telling them, you can come. Anybody can, like, come and, like, do this. Like, I'm sorry the name gives it off, but it's just because the show started like a full hip-hop thing, and then I went out and got everybody else. Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, like at the end of the day, music is music, you know? I mean, and hip-hop already, like, it's, there are a lot of different, you know, like, there are so many different directions it goes in and different kinds of sounds. Like, you know, I think it's already quite inclusive of a lot of
sounds. And some people think it was a scam or something until they realize that the links I have is real. They thought it was too good to be true. Because you know the saying, it was too good to be true, it likely is. Or some people say it is.
Yeah, It's funny because I got your like when you reached out to me, it was like a few days after I had gotten something from somebody else who clearly was a scammer, like claiming to be some like magazine writer, and they were like, "Yo, go, you know, this is what I was getting," and I'm like, "Okay, you got any more details?" And they're like, "Oh, of course you'd have to pay." I'm like, "Bro, like your English is terrible. You're clearly not a writer." Like, so it was right after off the heels of a scam thing, and I was like, oh, okay, what is this other thing?
That is too ironic. Like, oh, okay. That is crazy that a scammer and myself came at a similar time. That is too ironic. That is crazy. No way.
Yeah, it's just like a few days apart. I was like, whoa. Nah, you're cool though.
That's the most ironic thing I've ever heard. That is crazy. But at least you know now that I'm real and that other guy is nothing.
Maybe you're just like an AI voice that's talking to me. Maybe you're a hallucination.
How dare you call me an AI? AI doesn't sound as real. I know.
They do now.
It's,
have you heard
it's scaring
like,
me.
Like it's
crazy generally
what AI
scaring
can do.
Me.
The future.
Like, I thought.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like people said that about every like sort of big technological thing. People are like, oh, the internet is going to be the end of it, and, you know, and it's like not just the internet, but like with. I'm not thinking of any specific examples, but like I know there have been other things where people are like, oh, this is gonna and like it's gonna change things, but it's not gonna be like, you know, oh, it's the end of civilized humanity because we can't tell what's real. Because I mean, there was a point in time where like Photoshop wasn't a thing, and people were like, oh, now that Photoshop's a thing, people are gonna be manipulating all sorts of photographs and you won't be able to tell what's real, you know. And we're still now not at a point where it's like a threat in that way, you know. So it's just gonna be different. Like I said, it's gonna be like social media getting big. Probably won't even be that big, like as big of a change as social media was for society. But you know, I mean, it'll definitely change some things. But we're still gonna be people doing
like,
people.
We still be living life.
I'm not too
people
worried.
Forget
about
that
it.
Before people were living just like we were. You know, people were. Just who they are, you know, internet and, you know, advanced doesn't really define people. It's just a plus to have a phone or a computer, like, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, you know, people used to live in villages. They'd like go down to the blacksmith to get like metal, like, you know, they go down to the leather worker to get their shoes. And like,
right,
visit
yeah.
the farmer to get some bread. Like, we got so much stuff now.
I wish I could go on longer because I'm a history buff. That's okay.
Damn, I can't believe it's been an hour. Sorry for keeping it so long.
Sometimes
I talk a lot.
Sometimes when people talk a lot, sometimes it's a bad thing for them when they talk too much. But like you, I'm fine with because you do talk a lot. But you're a very good conversationalist, so I felt like I could talk to you for hours. Much obliged, and I wish I could go on about history.
Thanks,
I'm such a history buff. I'm a really nerd, so history is kind of like my other thing that I would talk about forever. Where was I at? Right. So y'all got a little tiff of that too. So y'all can now go home, and you know y'all can say you've learned a little history too. Since a lot of y'all going back to school tomorrow. A lot, some of them are going back to school and college. Is I think starting Tuesday. So good luck on that. Y'all kind of thing. So again, final words, thank you guys so much for watching. I hope you guys learned a lot and enjoyed this as much as I did. I got lots more in the works. Follow my Instagram, Wrap It Out Everywhere, you can find it. I'm literally on 15-20 platforms, so if you can't find me, then you are blind as hell. So but anyway, regardless, I hope you all enjoyed this, shared around, support, and don't do drugs. It's stupid, it's dumb, and if you do it, you know, unless you have a valid excuse, please don't do it. We already have maybe just a little bit, but please, y'all.
Only in moderation. Only do a little bit of drugs.
A little. But seriously, do not. And I will catch y'all the next interview I do, which is, I have a couple today, actually, so good luck for me. But I'll catch y'all later. Much love, be blessed, see y'all. Peace out.
Peace.